Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some more helpful texts coming in. Dusty, grab the brisket breakfast burrito at Bucky's. Brioche.
Yeah, sounds good, right?
I do have a 2-hour and 35-minute drive home. I hope I can make it. Especially after what we'll partake before and after the game on Saturday to go see Cags in Springfield. Somebody bringing up some more mascot fights. The werewolf or a vampire?
The vampire, because it will bite you and just suck all your blood out.
Mel Kiper. Come on, man. The werewolf's strong guy. You know, werewolves are nice guys. Going back to the old days. Used to be called the Dirty Werewolf. We retired that name 2 years ago in After Hours. And then someone also brings in for mascots of Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey show, Rob Maloney or Jay Binkley?
Well, Maloney would kick Binkley's ass.
Jay's not a fighter.
Jay's not a fighter. Maloney, he owns bars.
Yeah,
that guy's been in a couple of scraps.
Yeah. Ask Jay about Neil Jones.
Well, that's different.
Okay. Neil Jones or a breakfast burrito from McDonald's?
Breakfast burrito from McDonald's.
No, it didn't stand a chance from what I saw. That guy looked like Joey Chestnut that day. But it is time for Richard of the Week. You growing boy.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Richard of the Week, sponsored by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is zero bubbles. Bob, what airline is the Richard of the Week this week?
It is Southwest Airlines this week.
Exactly.
This one's been percolating for a week.
Richard Air.
That's right. Yes. Richard Air. Here we go.
Richard Airlines. Go ahead.
Ears weren't the only thing popping on a Southwest Airlines flight Saturday when one passenger allegedly stripped naked and pooped on her seat, according to NBC5 Chicago.
Oh. Ouch. On the plane.
That's right.
I like Southwest's fault.
Well, it's not Southwest's fault at all, but
just
it's the passenger. Yeah. I mean, this is why, you know, let's raise the prices where people who poop and take their pants off can't afford to fly. I'm fine with that, right? We don't need people like this flying. According to a statement from Southwest Airlines, flight 418 from Philly to Chicago was met by a law enforcement and medical personnel who responded to a situation involving a customer. A source with knowledge of the situation, other passenger probably, passenger had removed her clothing and defecated on the seat, forcing the plane to be taken out of service for cleaning. Our teams are reaching out to those on board to apologize. Imagine if she's in that middle seat and you're sitting on either side of this woman who just decides to take her clothes off and poop on the seat in the middle of the flight. Southwest announced this month that we'll reduce capacity later this year and expects revenue to dip. Well, I can't imagine why. So that's my Richard of the Week. This woman who decided that, you know, the airline was her toilet and just took her pants off and pooped on her seat.
Good hell. Oh,
people suck, man. They really do.
That's brutal.
Mac locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
If seats had toilets,
Dusty, you can go next, brother.
All right. Mine is J.J. Richard.
That's fitting.
J.J. Redick, man. Richard of the Week. For multiple reasons. One, you got the job. Your buddy, who you sip vino with and do a podcast with, pulled for you to be this coach. You buckled under the pressure once again. Hearing Nick Wright yesterday talk about what he said to think about J.J. Redick, clutch moments, not J.J.'s biggest moments. College and March Madness games, not the greatest at times. Lakers, not the best at sometimes. And then he goes on record as saying, we've got to get into championship shape. That is 100% a shot at the future of your franchise, who you were gifted in Luka Doncic.
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
They ought to fire him.
He said they need to get more championship shape, and that was a direct shot towards Luka Doncic, where we get a lot of, you know, bad, evil texts and tweets from people, and we have one of two options, ignore it or address it. J.J. Redick and everybody in L.A. has all, we've heard it in the Midwest, Luka's fat, Luka's out of shape, Luka's this. Could he be in better shape? Possibly. But it's not your coach who you're supposed to go to war for joining the crowd and being part of that noise. Have your teammates back, because what are you going to do? You're going to find yourself losing all credibility, all respect of your teammates. And if it is end
of time.
Did
he have any of that, do you think?
Yeah, LeBron. And maybe he had feels, you know, respect, maybe. But like when you join the crowd of negativity and let it be part of your now faux pas of your team, like J.J. Redick, that's a Richard move. Like you got to be like, hey, I've got to be better. I've got to get this team more prepared. I've got to get better in the playoffs and be more precise. Because what do we say all the time? Managers in baseball are irrelevant to the playoffs. And once the playoffs start, managers become very important. It's kind of the same with the NBA. Like 82-game schedule, coaches are really going to be a key factor in that. We looked at Tibbs the other night when they lost the game because he didn't get Brunson and those guys in.
Yeah.
That then they go to a timeout, he draws up a play, that was all coaching right there. Draw a play where you can see the weakness and get an open shot, they hit the three. J.J. Redick, Richer of the Week from One Dusty Likens. You've got to take ownership, you've got to be a coach. This showed immaturity, this showed like you're going towards the masses and not sticking to your team. Because how many times do we see when Patrick Mahomes was losing games because his receivers were dropping the ball? I've got to put my teammates in a better position.
Well, he's not a leader, J.J. Redick. Leaders give everybody else the credit and take all the blame. And that's what leaders do. That's what you do in that situation, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when things go good with your company, your boss better be crediting everybody that works at that company. When things go bad, that's his or her fault. That's what leaders do. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're not a leader. And J.J. Redick, like, fighting with the media before the game, this stuff after the game, I don't know that J.J. Redick is necessarily a leader. He could be a coach, but he's not going to be a leader. You need to be a leader if you're going to be the head of an organization.
They did have a pretty good season, to be fair to J.J. Redick.
Is he still going to win Coach of the Year?
No, he was never going to win Coach of the Year. I think
he was the favorite for a while.
How do you not have a good year with LeBron and it's the NBA with LeBron? I mean, I could have had a good year. Now you're in the playoffs.
No. This team has missed the playoffs. They've been first round exits. They don't have a bench. They don't have a center, and they were the 3 seed in the West.
You still have arguably the best player on planet Earth in LeBron James.
No,
and then
he's
you
not
got
arguably
the second
the best player,
best player in Luka out there. Like, you got to do better than that.
Thought they did pretty well.
Nobody remembers first round losers.
No, yeah, exactly. They wouldn't have made the first round if it weren't for J.J. Redick.
But maybe if LeBron actually let a real leader in there to be the head coach of the team instead of trying to be the boss of everything all the time and brought somebody in that would hold people accountable instead of just being a yes man for LeBron James, maybe they would have better outcomes and maybe he'd have more championships. Well, do you think Phil Jackson was
Richard of the Week because he's holding someone accountable?
No, but he's not. He's not holding
not
them accountable
like.
In the right way.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's a way to do things behind the scenes. In front, you got to. Dusty's right. You got to accept the blame. It's on me, man. I'm the coach. Everything runs through me. You don't go out there and say we need to be in better shape.
Yeah, I'm with you. JJ's made mistakes, no doubt, and some of them were substitution related for sure and on the floor. But I'd still say he overachieved with that roster. LeBron James is my Richard of the Week to stay close to the Lakers. Because they ask him about, playing center in this series. And he's like, well, no comment. My guy AD said something. And then he was gone the next week. Kind of like also poking against his guy, Anthony Davis, who didn't choose to be traded. And also poking against his organization. And it's like, you got Luka Doncic, man. And one of the biggest fleeces of all time. Like, I know you don't have a center and it sucks. And that is their fault.
When did the NBA get back to a center league?
it's shifted quickly. It's right? Like running backs in the NFL. Yeah. You need a big man.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, need a big man.
Because that's everybody's fear for Golden State.
Yep, no rim protection.
If they've got to go into the next round and play, Clippers.
Oh, they'll play Minnesota, who
beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
And now Rudy Gobert could be, I mean, over rebounds every single game.
Yes.
And the number will be at like 13.
And there's no one in the paint to stop Anthony Edwards from rising up and slamming. So, yeah, that'd be mine. LeBron, I mean, that whole Lakers organization does need some accountability.
Why LeBron, though?
Because he called out front office. Because he called out front office.
Frustration, AD. Yeah. Like, dude, you got Luka Doncic in the biggest fleece ever. Sorry you had to play center.
Yeah. It is what it is. Richard of the Week. Lady takes a dump on an airline. JJ Redick calls out a guy for being fat. And again, I don't mind him saying we got to get in better shape. But that's, yeah. I think, something you do, like Bob said, behind closed doors.
I agree. Oh, I agree.
And I don't think that you, because like it's low-hanging fruit to the media.
Oh, of course it is.
No, I agree. I just wanted to give him his flowers where it was due. I thought it was a good year overall for JJ.
Because the text line says, so a coach calls out a player for being out of shape and JJ earns Richard of the Week for that. Maybe Luka needs to think about actually doing that for the first time in his life and playing defense. Hashtag soft body.
But how do you
think you're going to get... And then I got called wolf nuts again.
How do you think you're going to get the most out of somebody? Do you think you're going to get the most out of a player or a person? Like, think about you and your life, okay? No matter what you do for a living, you're at a meeting with your office, and the boss gets up there in front of everybody and says, Steve, you suck, man. You haven't been doing squat around here. Everybody's been pulling weight for you. You're awful. And I'm not talking about Spectre. I just made the name up, Steve, right? And you get called out. Is that going to make that guy work harder? Is that going to make you? No, you're going to immediately go look for another job. You're going to check out and you're going to say, F you, man. I'm out. I'm going to go do something else. And I'm going to find a place that wants me. Now, if you pull that person aside behind the closed doors and say, hey, I know you've been struggling a little bit. What can I do to help? Like, you've got to approach this differently. You've got to approach things with kindness and compassion. And that's the way the world is now. Like it or not. You know, back in the day, bosses used to rip people and tear people down. That doesn't fly anymore. People are not motivated by fear. They're not motivated by people getting in their face and yelling at them anymore. They check out. And especially NBA players. Luka Doncic earned more in that game than JJ Redick probably made all year. Why is he going to listen to this slappy, right? We're not going to listen to you. Okay. I'm not going to listen to you, but you do it the right way. You handle things the right way. Then you win those players over, man. This is not a hard thing to do, but these dopes that are in professional sports let their ego get in the way so many times. And so many people have their undoing because of their GD ego, as opposed to just checking it and doing what's best and what's right. And JJ Redick will be gone before you know it, too. Back to doing his podcast.
I just saw on the Hater Report on X, it says Cade Cunningham with the Detroit Pistons season on the line. It's a picture of Eric Andre.
Oh, jeez. Oh, he was so good. That's too bad. People close to LeBron James aren't ruling out the possibility of him finishing his career elsewhere, per The Athletic.
Say that again. Just came out. They're not worried?
They are not ruling out the possibility of him finishing his career elsewhere.
Oh, Sham said something. He was coming back, I guess. But when's his career going to finish? This is getting Aaron Rodgers. Like, every year a basketball season ends, and we got to talk about if LeBron's coming back.
Difference is LeBron's good.
Well, yes. But still, I mean, he's as narcissistic as Aaron Rodgers is. Put them in a room together, they'll talk about themselves. That's what Ross Tucker, I give Ross Tucker a lot of credit, too, on Good Morning Football, saying Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play. He just wants the attention.
One last Richard of the Week. This one's deep. From the 816. Richard of the Week is my now ex-boss's boss who tried to hook up with my wife last night at a bar until I walked in and found out. He ran out like a cheetah, but I got a few shots in. Oh, boy. Good thing he's not your current boss. So there you go. Then somebody says my current boss still cusses people out weekly. And has the ability to give your flowers.
Yeah, but that's I've worked with people like that. That guy sucks. Beat that ass. That's called bipolar. Mm. You never know what you're going to get when you go in on a day and what that person's going to be like, and you're on eggshells the entire time. F that guy.
I thought that was a box of chocolates. That is the Richer of the Week, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, zero bubbles. Royals and O's tonight. Keep the train going. And Bobby Witt going for more historic pace with that hit streak. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back at it Friday morning here on Fesco and Dusty 96.5. The Fan, Mac Morey as well alongside, getting you ready for the weekend as the Royals open that three-game series in Baltimore against the O's. I keep scrolling through X and I see more and more about the game last night featuring Jalen Brunson and his teammates beating the Detroit Pistons and that team and watching them go down in flames. And I sent this guy to you in a text, but I was just thinking about this. You know, we're fortunate that we do not have a team in the NBA or NHL, because I don't know that any of us could afford it. Imagine a playoff run in the NBA, four series, four games,
yeah, wow,
16 more games that you got to pay for, man. How do people afford to go to all of those playoff games? If you make a deep run in the NBA or the NHL, you're thinking like, you're going to pay for 16 extra games. I mean, I know how bad it is trying to get two tickets to go pay for two tickets to an extra Chiefs game or something like that, let alone going out there and paying for four games in one series, four games in the next, four games. I mean, like, and I know they spread that money out and you can pay towards for next season, but even still, I mean, coming up with that extra money, man, that's got to be brutal. I mean, how the hell do people afford doing this kind of stuff?
16 games, it's around, you know, $350, $400. That's an extra $6,000.
Somebody said to me, like, oh, it's corporate tickets. I'm like, no, not in the upper rafters. No. And people have season tickets
those
and things
rowdy
like that.
Fans.
Yeah. Like, yeah, obviously there's some corporations involved, but they're not footing the bill for everything. But if you're Joe Q Public, man, and that playoff bill comes for an NBA or NHL team, you're like,
Like, you watched that Knicks game. There were some rowdy New Yorkers there last night at the Garden.
Yeah.
They were ready, man.
Yeah.
I guess that was at Detroit. They lost at Detroit. Yeah, but there were some rowdy Detroiters.
Yeah, there were rowdy New Yorkers there the night before. I mean, and that's just the way it's going to be. It's not all corporate suits. The good seats usually are. Mm-hmm, but, I mean, just to think about that, it's hard enough to pay for two Chiefs playoff games or a Royals play. Even when the Royals were doing it in 14 and 15, you were asking a lot because you had the wild card game the first year. Then you had the division series the second year, which I guess was only really one game, right? Because you beat Anaheim in three, and then you had the ALCS, which was two games here. So we got very fortunate. We didn't have to spring for all of those games because it could get very expensive. Foot in the bill, but that's what the owners want. They want game seven series with the guarantee that you're going to advance to the next round because they make cash.
Loved a game seven of Detroit and the Knicks. I understand Knicks fans are like, no, but it would have been in the Garden, game seven.
Would have been awesome, man.
Win, it's good. Loss, it's good.
I was talking to a buddy of mine last night who's been he's a diehard New York Knicks fan. Has been his entire life and, you know, growing up and whatnot. He texts me, he goes, we got to just win this damn thing tonight, man. it was winning last night. And again, I'm a very fringe Knicks fan growing up as a kid. But even I felt the relief last night of it because I know what's at stake. And for me, in sports these days, I need something, if it's basketball, something ancillary to get me to the table. Knicks and Celtics brings you to the table, man. It really does. And that's just not a New York thing or a Boston thing. That's a national thing. It's one of the great rivalries, if not the greatest rivalry in sports, is that New York-Boston rivalry. And so you're going to watch for the theatrics that are going to take place. And, the basketball is going to be secondary, right? I think it's going to be great. And as you mentioned, Mac, the first time since 1984 when Lionel Richie was dancing on the ceiling that these two teams are playing after the first round.
That's crazy.
Patrick Ewing was not, I don't think, on that team.
Probably not. 1984, yeah.
Yeah. So, Patrick Ewing's Knicks never played. The Celtics weren't always
that
good.
They were bad in the 90s.
Yeah, when the Knicks were good, the Celtics were down. When the Celtics were good, the Knicks were down. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a Knicks franchise that hasn't won since 71, I think, is the time they won a national champion or an NBA champion.
Title, yeah.
So it's been a long time. I think this series is going to be great. Even though the Knicks were, you know, slobber knocked in that series against the Celtics all season long, this is the playoffs now. This is something different, man. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be compelling. Celtics in four.
So your Knicks team in 1984, Bernard King, Bill Cartwright, Rory Sparrow.
Who?
No, I don't know that one.
These Who? Are heard of him?
Rory Sparrow, Truck Robinson.
Yeah, Truck.
Yeah. Ray Williams, Trent Tucker.
I know Trent Tucker.
Louis Orr.
Lou Orr, yeah. Lou!
Marion Webster.
He was the dictionary. Yeah, they called him the wordsmith.
Yep. And then Daryl Walker.
Wow, that was the 1984 Knicks. I don't know hardly any of those.
Like
the only
those
one
guys.
Reason I know Trent Tucker because he played for the Cavs, I think, when I was a kid.
Yeah, that was your 1983-1984 New York Knicks roster and stats. They went 47-35, finished third in the NBA Atlantic Division. Hubie Brown was their coach.
No kidding. Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hubie.
Who was on the Celtics roster that year? I mean, obviously.
84, it would have been, you know, Larry, yeah. Kevin.
84, your Celtics Dennis roster Johnson. Was Danny Ainge, Larry Bird, Quinn Parrish. Buckner, ML Carr, Carlos Clark, Geraldo Henderson, Dennis Johnson.
Good Lord.
Greg Kite.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Greg Kite was coming off the bench for them.
I guess Cowens was gone.
Kevin
probably.
McHale, Robert Parrish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. Basically, Team USA. Yeah,
I mean, my goodness, that roster right there. Were people awesome. Complaining back then about the Celtics, you know?
They went 62-20. Casey Jones.
How'd they lose 20 games? They got bored.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they
Casey
won.
Casey Jones. Yep. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Won the NBA Eastern Conference Finals 4-1.
Casey like Jones was named after a Grateful Dead song.
Mm-hmm. You better watch your speed. They points per game, they averaged 112.1.
Damn.
In 1984.
Yeah. Crap.
They just invented the three-point line.
Was the three-point line even in 1984?
I think it was. I'm pretty sure. I could.
Was the shot clock in 1984?
The three-point was.
It was?
Because as a team... they shot, let's see, where's it at? 3-point percentage. They shot 24% from 3-point range. Now the Celtics shoot like 41% from 3-point range.
What did they shoot back then?
22%.
Yeah, abysmal.
From the three.
And now
they had one guy that did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bird. So that was in his three MVPs in a row. That was 84.
84 was a good year for the Royals. 85, even better, 40 years ago, this season. You hear all the, segues and commercials. I think they're kind of fun when I'm driving my car and you hear like Ryland Fever. It was July 5th. The Royals were playing the Tigers and Ben Zobrist came to the plate or whatever it is.
Like, they were talking about Kyle Snyder's debut yesterday afternoon, who's now the pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I remember that game. Like, cause I was covering the Royals in 2003 and he was one of the, he's going to save everybody. Right. One of them type deals. Like we saw from every pitcher back then. And I remember that debut. I was excited for that Kyle Snyder debut. If I'm not mistaken, that Kyle Snyder debut, they said May 1st, 2003. Mm. If I'm not mistaken, that was the same series that Eduardo Viesis pitched at Yankee Stadium.
No, Viesis is what you talked about in Richard of the Week.
Oh.
So we talk about how the Royals have been fantastic over the last 10 games. 9-1. They lose 6 in a row. They go on to win 9 of their next 10. They now have the 4th best record in the AL. Also, so do those Athletics, also a 17 wins, but you say
town are they in?
Unnamed Sacramento. You say keep beating the bad teams.
That's right.
You boys and myself included thought the Royals offense was bad. The O's are averaging 4 runs a game, slightly ahead of the Royals, who are averaging about 3.8. Their hits, they rank 27th. Their average, they rank 27th. On base percentage, the Orioles also rank 25th. And OPS, they ranked 21st. But wait, there's more. Their pitching is the worst in baseball. Runs allowed.
Well, they're counting that one dude who gave up 18 home runs.
I'm just reading the stats.
What's his name? Scott Weaver?
No.
Dream Weaver? Ed Weaver?
I think it's Kyle Gibson. I don't know.
Oh, Kyle Gibson. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Runs allowed, they're 28th. Hits allowed, 29th. Batting average allowed, 29th. Teams are hitting .289 against Baltimore.
Yeah, that's not good.
ERA, 29th. WHIP, 29th.
What'd you say about VIP?
Yeah, not 29. K's
Thinks
per 9.
Is.
K's per 9, 26th. Home runs allowed, 25th. They are a very, very, very struggling franchise, and you are not currently. I think the Royals need to go in there and win 2 out of 3, not 1 out of 3. I'm not calling for a sweep. But you got to go in there with Waka, Bubich, and Lorenzen and take advantage of this team that is absolutely shocked this year because they were a playoff team last year. I am on record. I did not forget to say I think they are one of the top 3 teams in baseball this year. They are not. Whereas the Royals' hitting woes have kind of like not been as drastically bad. They could still use a little bit more of a jolt in that lineup. Their pitching has been there. So where the Royals are completely polar opposites, the Baltimore Orioles are literally the non-polar opposite. They are one of the worst statistical teams in baseball, and the Royals need to take advantage of that.
So you had said the other day something about Brady Singer, like 4-0 or whatever, and I said to you, yeah, so what? The Royals would be the exact same team whether they had Brady Singer or not. They may even be a worse team. I don't know. But I'm not really concerned about what Brady Singer does and how he lives his career outside of Kansas City. But Baltimore, man, they may be feeling the effects of not having Corbin Burns on their team, you know, and how good he was. He had a sub-3 ERA last year for these guys in that 1 year, right? That was a big acquisition for them. They went out and got Corbin Burns that offseason for that 1 year. They put all their chips in the basket. Obviously, the Royals knocked him out of the playoffs right away, and it was over, and Corbin Burns was on his way to Arizona this offseason. You take an arm like that out of the rotation, that's got to be a deflating move for the rest of the people in that organization, because now whoever was your two last year, he's now supposed to be your one, and you're bumping everybody up, and then you get Kyle Wright coming out of the bullpen, giving up 18 home runs to the Yankees in one inning, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, damn, that Corbin Burns loss is going to be big. They didn't backfill. The Royals were able and had the ability to trade Brady Singer, get a leadoff hitter, get a left fielder, third baseman, wherever you want to play India, and move on from a guy, and they haven't missed a beat. The Orioles got rid of their guy, and Corbin Burns let him go for free agency. And, man, that pitching staff's in a bad way right now. That was your anchor right there.
No doubt about it. And, you know, we go back and look, and, you know, I'll give the Royals stats, too, when it comes to hitting, because they turn it around a little bit more so. Now 17 and 15, your Kansas City Royals. They're hitting, right, runs, they're actually 3.3, 28th, hits 22nd, average 22nd. On base percentage, 25th. Slugging, still 29th. OPS, 28th. Home runs, they're dead last. And stolen bases, they're 12th. But they're pitching. Hits allowed, 7th. Runs allowed, 3rd. Batting average against, 6th. A bad hitting team is going up against a pitching team who's allowing a batting average of 226. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear it that, you know, oh, they're just beating up on bad teams. So what do you want them to do?
Lose,
right? Like, what's the outcome that would like get you to have the opposite take? Like, well, they swept the Rockies. They should have.
Yeah,
they did exactly what they're supposed to do. I'm sorry if my test is easy in my class. I'm supposed to get an A. What's it show if I don't get an A? Well, right. You got a B minus. You should have got an A. Okay. Well, we swept the Rockies. We took 2 out of 3 from Houston, who's a good team. They took 3 out of 3 from Tampa on the road. Minor park or not, I don't care what, not minor park, but a minor league ballpark or not, you won 3 out of 3. You know how hard it is to sweep anybody?
Anybody. It's a hard thing to do.
Especially Tampa, who was 500 going into that series.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore is a team that you could essentially, in May, bury them and leave them out of contention to where all you've got to worry about now.
What are they, 6 under? You said 500, right?
Yeah.
6 games under 500. You sweep the series. Baltimore's 9 games under .500, and it's not Cinco de Mayo yet.
Yeah, because like right now, if you want to think about it, like obviously Detroit and Cleveland are your competitors. You're 3 games out of first place in your division. Detroit's 20-12, Cleveland 18-13, you're 17-15. The Baltimore Orioles are 12-18. They're still only 5 games out of the AL East because the Yankees are 18-13. They're not really necessarily running away with the division. But you look at the Royals and their competition now. Nowhere is Baltimore in this discussion. The only teams above you in the wild card race right now as of May, way too early. These are the teams above you that you can keep an eye on moving forward. Athletics, Astros, Guardians. I'm sorry, did I mention the Astros, who the Royals won 2 out of 3, but they beat up on bad teams? That's not a true narrative.
I guess I just don't understand why, and I've been doing this now for a very long time. I shouldn't have to ask myself these questions, but why does it matter who they beat? Why do fans get concerned with that? Oh, they're not playing. This isn't college, okay? Like, we have a very, very, very sick way of combining sports and angles from different sports that don't apply to the sport we're talking about because it works somewhere else. Strength of schedule matters in college basketball. That's it. It doesn't matter anywhere else. And it may be a little bit now in college football if you're going to do some seeding based on that. Strength of schedule does not matter in Major League Baseball or in the NFL because, I don't know, we keep records, we keep standings, and everything's determined by how many games you win versus how many games you lose. And if you have the opportunity to have teams on your schedule that aren't playing good baseball, well, then you need to take advantage of that. And that's what the Royals are doing right now. Just like teams took advantage of them when they weren't playing their best baseball. They went 2-8 on that 10-game road swing. So if you're going to be a fan of a team and they're doing good things, why are you looking for the negative? Why are you trying to bring up the negative side of things? I know it's easier to do and it's more street cred maybe on X with the other vocal minority folks out there that are trying to, you know, get street cred and make friends. But to me, it's all about, let's celebrate the positive here, man. We're living in a good time right now with sports. We got a football team that's just indestructible at the moment. We've got a baseball team led by arguably the best player in the game at this point in time. And they're in, you know, they're above 500 after the first month of the season. And people are saying, well, I don't care who the hell they're beating. They're winning the games that they're supposed to be winning. And as they move along the season, they'll start to win some games that they're not supposed to be winning. Why are we caught up in that? They're not beating good teams. I don't care who they beat. As long as at the end of the day, they have more runs than the opposition, that's the only stat that matters. That's the only thing that matters. And as a fan, that should be the only thing that matters to you. Don't borrow trouble if they're not beating good. Who the hell cares who they're beating? They're beating Major League Baseball teams.
Yeah, we've got some heroes on the text line from the 816. Complaining has just become the norm. And I'll admit, it gets me from time to time.
It does, because it's easy to do. You get sucked into that negative.
No doubt. Somebody from the 816 says, the Royals get the least amount of benefit of the doubt than any team in the area. It's crazy.
And when are you going to start giving them the benefit of the doubt?
Because we kind of get this a little bit with the Chiefs, don't we? Like, if the Chiefs' first month of the season, hypothetically, is the Chargers, the Jags, the Titans and
Giants.
Yeah, right. Whoever. Those are your first four games. And the Chiefs go 4-0. I promise you, there will be stories on sports shows that'll say, yeah, we haven't beaten anybody yet.
Doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
We don't judge professional sports by who you played. Stop acting like that matters. It doesn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you play. You're playing another professional team. They're paid to kick your ass as well. They're putting in the work. You got the better of them. You win a game in the NFL. You win a game in Major League Baseball. That is a big deal. Celebrate that and get on to the next one.
Yeah, and then somebody says, I guess I just don't understand why people say these teams are bad. Rockies, sure, get it.
Yes.
Both Stros and Rays had won 5 of 6 prior to playing the Royals.
Yeah, people are caught up in the Rockies, and that's the other thing. People saw the Rockies. They know they've only won 5 games out of their first 30. Oh, my God, the Rockies are terrible. The Royals took care of business, and then they have amnesia.
I just block it out, and I think it's fun. Because, hey, you're thinking about us, you know? We're that ex that got away. You didn't delete all the pictures off your phone. You're still looking at what might have been. Or as the one great Toby Keith once said, how do you like me now? Oh, the Royals, they've been a terrible franchise except for 3 years. Well, this is now back-to-back years, just like 14 and 15 was. And that's, what, 4 good years in 10 years in baseball? How many people outside of the, you know, juggernauts can say that? Not Atlanta. Well, maybe Atlanta. But not, like, you know, Detroit. I mean, there's teams out there that don't have every year's a good year. Ask Cardinal fans how they're feeling.
Right.
Right? They're supposed to be good every single year.
And eventually the Chiefs are going to have a down year.
Yeah.
Stop that.
I don't want to say it, but it's reality.
I know.
Eventually the Chiefs are not going to win every Super Bowl they play. But they've still gone to 5-1-3 with this regime. That's a, what, winning record?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they get blown out.
The older I get, the less I care about your negative opinions on things. I really don't. I mean, that's where I am in life right now. I'm past the halfway point, most likely, in my life. I want the rest of it to be enjoyable. I don't want to get caught up in people who are mad at a baseball team that's winning games. Like, you guys suck. Yeah.
I think this is also, like, prisoner of the moment of where we're at, like, technology-wise. Like, it used to just be, like, you could open up the newspaper and be like, ah, this team sucks, and nobody heard what you had to say.
Right.
Then Facebook came along, and you could make statuses.
Right.
Then Twitter became popular.
Yep.
Then Instagram and all that sort of stuff became popular, and you could start putting clips up and showing bad stuff and being like, you know, you could make stats more and more visually evident. And I think that is true with what the tech said. I think a lot of people use sports as a place to vent. You know, like, imagine if we did that about life. You would hate everything. Like, it'd be like, ah, traffic. Ah, laundry. Ah, dishes. But what about the good times in life? Why don't you talk about those? That's
what I don't understand. Yeah. Like, why don't you get down for your status update or your tweets? And look, we're all guilty of it because the negative, for whatever reason, sells, right? But like, what? Why can't you sit down and go, man, I just had a great day today. It was what, because people get mad. Look at you bragging out there trying to get social media cred. Like, you can't win. You just can't. You just can't. So I just choose to try to ignore it. It's why I don't have the text line up, and kind of why I don't want to get on Twitter during games if the Royals are down 1-0. Oh my God. Or it used to be with the Chiefs. Chiefs would be down at halftime. Oh my, this team sucks. Fire. Oh God. There's 13 seconds left. We're going to win this thing.
There's 20 minutes left of this show, and we'll get to our can of corn on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it on a Friday.
Bobber, he took off.
Yeah, he said, see you, man.
He's gone. He's like, too much negativity in the game. Yeah.
And gone.
Royals and Orioles tonight in Camden Yards. There's a warehouse once hit by Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. was so cool at one point in my life, I was wearing a backwards hat. Royals down 2-1. Here's Ibanez.
That was not Denny Matthews. That was Denny Likens. Mac Morey, Pop Fesco, Dusty Likens with you on a Friday. Really excited about the weekend. Can't wait.
Yeah, dude, going to see Cags.
Gonna go there tomorrow night with Cody Gold and Drew and like 200 plus people. Getting excited to go to Springfield. Haven't been in Springfield in probably 15 years.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been there.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
That's what I've heard on the text line.
Yeah, but it's okay. Yeah. Gonna go, sip some suds with some buds out at the bars before the game, then go to the game. Gonna sit behind the third base bag because they're the visitors, so Cags will be over there.
Nice.
If he doesn't do anything productive, I cannot be to blame because I'm going with the good luck charms and Cody Moore.
Oh, that's true.
Right? They go to the Super Bowl, they win. They do this, they win.
Everything they do touches gold. Yep.
Touches what?
Everything they touch is gold. Thank you.
No doubt about it. So it will be interesting because I've never been to a minor league baseball game.
Oh, so much fun, man.
Yeah, so I've never gone.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be cool.
I'm really excited about that. Plus, like, I think we're doing this at the right time.
Yeah.
Because I do think AAA is right around the corner
for
Caglione.
It's happening.
And then there's some notable stuff here with the hit streak that we talked about with Bobby Witt Jr. So Bobby Witt Jr. has a 22-game hit streak currently in baseball, right? And for the Kansas City Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., 22-game hit streak. If Bobby Witt Jr. gets a hit in all three games against Baltimore, he will then tie George Brett and Mike Sweeney for the fourth longest hitting streak in Royals franchise history. Woo. They both had 25-game hitting streaks. This is from Royal Muse on Twitter. Great follow if you want to go follow those guys. The longest in the history of the Royals is Whit Merrifield at 31, followed by George Brett with 30. So George Brett had a 30-game hit streak and a 25-game hit streak, and still someone was like, nah, I'll learn my own way.
Yeah, right. MJ Melendez is like, yeah, sit down, Grandpa.
And then here's the surprising one. Do you want to take a guess who has the third longest hitting streak in Royals franchise history?
Don't tell me because I think I'm going to know. I'm going to say Carlos Beltran.
It is not.
Die.
I'll give you one more.
Damon.
Jose Offerman.
Oh, my God.
27-game hit streak. Had no idea.
That's like who has the most home runs in Royals history, Steve Balboni type thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you never would have guessed Jose Offerman.
Here comes the text line. It's Sal and Soler and Moose.
We know. Thank you.
Yeah. We're almost there. We're almost there.
Just calm down. We know. For 1,000 years, it was Steve Balboni at 36 or 38, whatever it was, right? And that was Jose Offerman. I remember watching him in college. God.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Baltimore wins 2 out of 3, but Bobby Witt Jr. extends his hit streak throughout the series. How do you feel?
I want wins. Okay. I don't care about the hit
streak. I think Bobby would say the same thing,
which is great.
Yeah, I
know he would. Yeah, but that's where I am. If you lose but he gets hits, you're like, meh, I need the team to win games, right? I need the team to keep stacking wins because, again, you're facing the Baltimore Orioles, and right now they're not playing good baseball. So you don't want to go in there and waste that opportunity. You've got a great opportunity ahead of you to go out there and take care of business, win some games, lose teams, keep them losing, and feel good about coming back because when you roll back into town, you got the Chicago White Sox on the docket, right? that's a time you can get happy and fat as well and go out there and what is they got? Four against the White Sox, I think, coming up over the next, you know, homestand. Go out there and take care of business against the White Sox, man. Like, go sweep them. Go take three in Baltimore. Take four against the White Sox. Now, all of a sudden, you've won 10 in a row.
Yeah. I thought this was interesting because when Carrington had a topic, which he does this quite often, if you listen to The Drive, he'll say, I'll give you one scenario versus another one. And the one he had this year with the Super Bowl, because I asked my buddy this last night, he answered quickly, and I was surprised. And his question was last year, I'll give you Mahomes and the Chiefs win a three-peat this year, but Mahomes never wins a title, or Mahomes wins three more Super Bowls in his career, which one would you take?
I would take the three more in his career.
Me too.
Okay. That was about the same timing that my buddy Brian said.
And so that would have given him six total, right? He would not have passed Tom Brady.
Brady's got seven.
Right. And that's why it's a good scenario, because you're like, all right, you're still second to Tom, obviously, but you could have done something that Tom never did and win that three-peat. I want both.
Yeah,
like the right answer, it's both, you know, like that is the right answer. But, you know, you start to think about that, you know, with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. If they never win, I've asked you guys this, if they never win another one, what would your feeling be about this run? And most people would say unfulfilled because of where we are right now. You know, you've sat down to this great meal. You've had an unbelievable appetizer. Your first course was fantastic. Mm. Oh, my God, look at that salad. And then the meal comes out, and it's like a Salisbury steak that's overcooked and has no gravy. And you're like,
no more water steaks.
Yeah, but that's kind of where, you know, you are with the Chiefs. We've been served such a great beginning to all of this. You don't want to ruin it at the end. And so I think there are people that are probably nervous about that. But look, if they never win another Super Bowl again, we got our money's worth. We really did.
Because I said the three-peat, because I look at it as like, even if you get the other three, you're never passing Brady, which means society would be like, well, he's not the GOAT, which is fine, whatever. But he would have done something that I don't think anyone will ever do,
right?
Nor would they ever do again. And you have history, and you can't erase that. Like, you'd be like, he won four titles, and on the route of winning those four, he won three in a row. Whew. And that's kind of like...
See, that would have, to me, vaulted him over Tom Brady. But I don't want this period to end. And so if you could extend it out where they're still winning multiple Super Bowls in the next 5 to 7 years, I'm not ready to even see this thing start to dissipate in Arrowhead,
no,
right?
No, please, no.
So I ask you this question. Would you rather see the Royals get to the World Series and lose, or Bobby Witt Jr. break DiMaggio's hitting streak?
Get to the World Series and lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you lose.
So you're still at the,
World Series.
Yeah. Nobody remembers the other stuff. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was cool. He broke that. But everybody celebrates a winner. You know, more people will be paying attention, obviously, and participating in the Royals if they're in the World Series. Yeah, I'll never take an individual success over a team success. And I think Bobby would say that, too.
Which would give him more publicity? Would it be him making the World Series?
Probably
would.
Yeah, I think the hit streak would, because that's a national thing. They don't care about the Royals' success, you know?
Yeah.
His advice would be on every single channel of every major channel.
I remember growing up and watching McGuire and Sosa on ESPN Mac.
No, he doesn't. But he remembers when Aaron Judge was going for 60, and it was like during live television conferences or whatever it was. He'd be like, here's Aaron Judge going up to bat to set the major league or AL record of home runs.
Yeah.
So I play this other side. I think that Bobby will have multiple opportunities if the franchise does what they've shown they're going to do with Sherman and all those guys. He'll have an opportunity to break, or not break, but to win a World Series.
But there's never a guarantee. And if you have the opportunity, like with the Chiefs losing the Super Bowl, you'd like to say, okay, next year they'll be back. There's no guarantees. You don't know what's going to happen. And so that's why when you get to that level, you want to win it. Like last year, going to the playoffs was nice, very unfulfilling, right?
Yeah.
For both the Chiefs and the Royals, quite frankly. But if you're the Royals and you have an opportunity to play and lose a World Series, or Bobby breaks Joe DiMaggio's record, I would guess 99 out of 100 would say, give me to the World Series and lose. I don't care, because we all remember what it was like being in the World Series and how awesome that was. The individual stuffs are great when you're not winning. If you're winning, though, it's all about the team for me.
All right. Something that you have this weekend that's a can of corn.
I think for me, it's probably going to be just kind of hanging out at my niece's graduation party. You know, she has Down syndrome, and so she's graduating high school this year, and we're all really, really excited and proud of her.
That's
cool. And just to let her know, Lexi, I love you, man. I'm so proud of you and watching you grow up and do your thing, and now you get to graduate high school. It's pretty awesome
that's
to see
cool.
you reach this point of your life, and I can't wait to see what's next for her. So my niece, Lexi, love you, kiddo, and congratulations on your graduation. It's going to be fun.
It's like the great Rex Heller said, there's nothing down about it that you call it up syndrome.
Yeah, it
love
is.
That.
Yeah.
Rex's kid's awesome.
He's the best. I think him and Lexi are pretty close friends and whatnot. Yeah.
Oh,
I went to a golf tournament. It was awesome. And Rex's son, Speck, was there. We were playing, and it was like a Royals tournament at Iron Horse. And we were out there playing, and Rex's son was going to give like a speech. And he just starts singing the national anthem.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so great.
I love it. Yes.
And like Rex is like a proud father, you know, and all this. And like Specker's sitting there. And then he just starts going on a rant. He's like, and by the way, there will be this. And like finally, like Jenner's like, all right.
We got it.
I was like, yes, dude.
Well, Lexi did that. Awesome, and then my mother-in-law's birthday dinner the other day, she got up and just started tapping the glass. I have a speech. And I looked at her parents. I go, did you expect this? They said, no. And so she gave a speech, started crying about how much she loves her grandma. It was awesome, man. I'm so excited. Excited to see her graduate high
that's
school.
Really,
it's
going to
be
that's
fun.
That's cool.
Matt, go ahead and try to top that.
I know, seriously, that's so heartwarming. I'm sitting here tearing up, man. That's so exciting. Way to go, Lexi. Yeah, man, just hanging out. Good at, like you a couple weeks ago when you were like nothing, Bob. That's kind of me this weekend.
There's nothing wrong with that. Trying to
keep the slate clean.
Out of mind, out of sight.
Yep, little to no plans. Going to hang at the house, watch sports, mow my mom's lawn. That's about it.
Better get that in now. Looks like it's getting cloudy.
I know. I didn't
here.
Expect it to be this bad.
That Takanashi split's real.
Yeah.
Check out the radar. It's insane.
Damn.
That Takanashi split.
Hey, Ralph,
split.
How's it doing out there?
Split. Mine is very interesting. So Gold and I are going to be roommates for Saturday, and he's going to ride down with me in the Buick. I'm introducing Alex Gold to Bruce Springsteen.
All righty.
He's never heard Bruce Springsteen before.
Oh, he's heard like Dancing in the Dark and Hungry Heart.
It'd be like what I've heard, like the main stuff.
He hadn't heard The Rising.
You better play that whole album for him.
I could.
You should.
But I'm going to give him some deep cuts of Bruce, give him some other ones that maybe he's heard, and then maybe if he wants it, a little education on The Boss.
Yeah,
he probably won't.
Because I don't want him to be like, can you just.
You don't think he will?
Because if he doesn't, I'm going to play the podcast of Theo Vaughn and Ben Affleck. I'm dying to listen to that.
Now, there's no chance Alex cares about that kind of stuff.
Damn,
he got that
Caitlin cool.
Clark gold card. He's like, I don't need this.
That's true. He's thinking about the gold card.
He can now pay off his credit card bills. Congratulations, Alex.
He's like, yeah, The Boss, sure.
From 816, hey, Dusty, how many girls are you going to pick up in Springfield? Probably none. Probably none. Not if they see if I look like I did at Sneaky Pete's. They're like, that guy needs to go home. That guy needs to be.
Alex, walk him home. Be careful.
Yeah. How many songs is Cody Tapp singing at a karaoke bar this weekend?
We don't know. You won't be there.
That's true.
That's where we go our separate ways.
No doubt. This is where we go our separate ways until Monday. But don't forget, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody, Logan, and Drew from 10 to 2 on 96.5 The Fan. You're home with Kansas City Sports.